Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want to speak to you about this matter of courage. We need to learn to trust in the Lord, because the enemy that is out there that is opposed to us is, number one, a defeated enemy. The scriptures tell us that the devil, to the Christian, is the adversary. The Lord tells the Apostle Peter that Satan has desired to sift you. Peter takes this information and he writes it down, that your adversary, the devil, 1 Peter 5:8, and the devil walks around. Peter has knowledge of the book of Job, when Satan went up and made the accusation against Job. John talked about opposer, the accuser of the brethren. And Paul called Satan, he was the evil one. And so there is nothing good that will ever come from him. And so the Christian has these enemies, but we're not to be discouraged by the fact that we have such a vicious foe loose walking around in the earth. Now, you talk about a criminal on the loose. Well, who makes the criminal what he is? Whose offspring is the criminal? Satan's offspring, as the Lord Jesus tells us in John 8:44, the devil is a murderer, he's a liar, he's a father of lies. And so the criminal is a person who is enslaved by such. And if you were told today, if a news bulletin came on the news or television or newspaper, or when an alarm came through your neighborhood with someone on a loudspeaker telling you a certain criminal has escaped, he's a vicious foe. Lock your doors, arm yourselves, protect yourselves, be on the lookout. Don't open your doors for strangers. Lock the car doors. And people would be very much on the alert. Wouldn't want to sleep at night for fear that this vicious criminal was on the loose. And that has often happened. Sometimes several criminals have escaped at once. And a neighborhood would go into panic. They would go into lockdown, recognizing that there was an enemy on hand, and they were ready to protect themselves. Well, the Lord has told us that we're to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, do you think that he will say, I won't visit this house because that's a house where there are Christians, people who love the Lord? Or I won't drop by this ministry today because those people are really doing a serious work for the Lord, and everybody in there is really sincere about what they're doing for the Lord. They're rightly related to the Lord, so I won't bother them. Or do you feel he will say, well, you know, this one is over here, he's a drunkard, he's an adulterer, he's a liar, he's a thief, a murderer, I'll go and get him. Or there's one that wants to get saved, and I'll back off from him. No, the devil doesn't operate that way. The devil is a vicious foe. He hates man who was made in the image of God. And any man is a foe, is a target for this vicious foe. And we must be sober as Christians. The only ones who are safe from the devil are the ones who are in the hands of the Lord Jesus. If you're not in Christ's hand, that vicious foe is looking at you, even though as Christians he is looking at us, but we're kept by the power of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is no condemnation to us. Heavenly Father, we pray thee that we will have wisdom in knowing how to be sober and to be vigilant in this day, in this land in which the vicious foe walks about. We pray thy blessings upon us today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please turn in your Bible now to the book of Genesis chapter 26 and look at this very blessed passage, 26 and verse 25. When Isaac, after having been visited by the Lord in verse 24, when the Lord appeared unto him and told him that I am the God of Abraham, thy father, fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. When Isaac hears this, notice what verse 25 says he did. He builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. And then he pitched his tent there. So he built what was the first thing he did? He didn't say, this is a good place to build my house. This is a good place to stay. No, he wanted to show his reverence for God. He put the Lord first. His response indicated where his heart was. He went on to build this altar on which he would offer up a sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, he had learned of this matter of a sacrifice unto God, for he himself at one time was a participant in a sacrifice, as Abraham was willing to offer him up to God. The best he knows is that he is to offer up things unto the Lord. And he is willing to offer this up to the Lord. He's willing to give himself up to the Lord. And he had two sons who were twins, Esau and Jacob, but he wants to offer up a sacrifice unto the Lord after having heard what the Lord had said to him. After he built this altar, after he put forth the effort to show his love for the Lord, then the scriptures say he pitched his tent there. He pitched his tent. It was a temporary dwelling place. He did not say, now, this is where the Lord has visited me, and I'm going to stay here. No, the way you respond to the promise of God indicates your understanding of the promise. There are some people who feel like, well, the Lord has blessed me with salvation, and I'm on my way, my four no more, shut the door. And they don't want to think about anybody else. But when we are saved, when we were saved, rather, and we've been blessed of the Lord, that means the Lord has increased our responsibility, our accountability unto Him, and we are greater debtors to the world to carry the gospel of Christ. It is not that we shall say, I'm going to reside on this blessing. No, this is just but for a moment. This day is here for a while, and it'll be gone. I must have a focus in going on for the Lord. Even after he had built this altar and pitched his tent, he has set up a place where he was going to be, a tent, a temporary dwelling place. But there is still a caution. When you build a tent, if you stay in that area too long, you might get to the place to where you'll say, you know, I think we need to have a permanent dwelling place. And Rebekah could have said, Isaac, let's just build us a city right here. But no, he didn't build a city. He pitched a tent. It was to be a place that was to say, you're not there yet. You're in transit. You're in a traveling phase of things. Pitch your tent. And we must never forget, as Christians, we are just pitching tents. These are temporary days, temporary moments to serve Him. Serve Him now and move on to the next state of service for the Lord. Don't say that, Lord, it's so good here, I don't think I'm ready to come to heaven. That's where a lot of people are, you know. They don't want the Lord to return today. They've got it so good now, and they've got some great plans ahead. Lord, I didn't pitch a tent, they say, by their actions. I built myself a mansion, and they're willing to live in their mansion and let God's mansions that he's got for them, they're willing to say, let that wait. I've got something better now. Can you imagine that thinking? I'm ready to be with the Lord. I pray, even so, Lord Jesus, I love life now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying hurry up and pass life. No, I love the Lord. And I know that what God has for us is so much greater than anything we'll ever know. We're just living in a tent. Our bodies are but a tent. These earthly tabernacles, that's what that word tabernacle means, a temporary dwelling place. This body is going to be changed. Right now we experience pain and we don't understand things too well, misunderstand people, and we have problems. But we have a building. We have a place that the Lord Himself has built for us. It's just a tent. You've been blessed of the Lord. You've understood His promises. Be busy about focusing on what He would have you to do now. And then after that, Isaac's servants digged a well. But they had dug these other wells, and these wells had become places of contention and hatred, and places that were coveted and envy, caused by envy. The blessings that the Lord was giving to Isaac were a source of envy for those who were looking on. It wasn't a source of envy for Isaac, but they were for those who were looking on. And then in verse 26, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you? Now, he was at the right conclusion because of those wells. Its people were continually fighting and taking and watching him build and saying and claiming. Now, get out of this property, they would say. What you've done, that was just simply work for us. We're more in number than you. Move on. And Isaac was rightly concluded. He had come to the right conclusion about their attitude toward him. Verse 28, and they said, we saw certainly that the Lord, and notice the name they use, the Lord was with you, Yahweh. They didn't say that your God was with you. Now, the Lord had worked some great work in them because he had already stopped this man from doing a foolish thing when Isaac's faith lapses in verse 6, when he had pretended that Rebekah was his sister, not his wife. So the Lord had done that, and now they had been watching the life of Isaac, and they concluded, yes, the Lord is with this man. This Lord that he has talked about, the Lord that we've heard about, he is with this man. The one who is the God of all things, he's with this man. He is with thee, and we have said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. So they knew they had done him wrong. They had been watching how he responded, and so they were not willing to, they were willing to believe that he would do right. So let's make an oath. Now, to some people, an oath doesn't mean anything. It's just another way to get what they want. But they recognized that this man was one who would be bound by this oath, and they were willing to enter into an oath with him for safety. Father, we pray that there has been a message given, a lesson given out today, and that hearts will follow and people will be blessed by obedience to thee. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another message on Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina, and until next time, may the living Lord, the Lord our God, richly bless you.